Welcome to a new edition of the Famous Interviews with Joe Dimino. On this episode, we talk with Minnesota-based writer and marketer for writers, Emily Enker. She created Good Enough Book Marketing as a service to help authors navigate an unfair publishing world while still holding on to their artistic values. Her online membership group provides coaching services where authors learn which pieces of marketing are essential and which new fads can be ignored. Emily first began publishing articles when she interned at her local newspaper in high school. Enjoy this interview.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, this is Joe.
Yeah, Joe Dimino. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for taking a minute out today.
Not a problem. I'm happy to talk to you.
So how's the world look where you're at? Where exactly are you at the country?
So I am in Bemidji, Minnesota, which is kind of the northwest part of the state of Minnesota. It's a beautiful day today. It's absolutely gorgeous. We usually have a lot of mosquitoes around this time of year, and we did about a week ago, but they've started to kind of die out and get eaten by all the dragonflies, which I am totally all about. So it's actually a beautiful mosquito-free day today.
That's wonderful. Yeah, that's one place in the country I've never been to that I've always wanted to go to. I was here. It's beautiful up there.
Yeah. Well, where are you?
I'm in Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I've never been there either. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The sun is shining here. It's been a weird spring, summer. It just has not really consistently stayed warm, which is uncharacteristic. So, In fact, we're getting ready to go into a stretch. So the bugs haven't really started around here, but it'll get bad around here. We'll need plenty of citronella in this part of the world.
Yeah, this just the unfortunate part about living in this kind of Midwestern area and anywhere near the lakes. You have to deal with the mosquitoes.
Yeah, absolutely. But at least the sun's out and it's getting warm. So, well, hey, you know, thank you for taking a minute out. And what I want to do up front to kind of just kind of lay the groundwork for this. So you're an author and a writer, correct?
I'm a writer. I'm not an author. I am a book marketing coach. So I do not have a book written. I have published articles and short stories and essays, but no books.
Okay. So if somebody came up to you and they really like wanted to know what you do, what would you say to them? How would you describe what your job is and what you really actually do?
I help other writers and authors grow their career by helping them connect with an audience more efficiently.
Do you have aspirations to become an author or write books?
I do, yeah. I would love to write a book someday. Fiction is my passion, and I've always thought I would write a book someday. The marketing part of my career was kind of an accidental detour that happened after children came along, and I realized that being in the creative headspace was a hard balance for me when I have two little kids, and being in the more business-minded analytical space, which is what I had done for the previous 10 years, I was in marketing for about a decade, that was a lot easier for me to handle with little children, and so I just kind of stayed the course there and decided to pivot what I do to help writers. Even though I hadn't become an author yet myself, I wanted to kind of help the type of people that I would like to be someday as well.
When you do get to that point where you put books out, it's probably going to be easy for you to market, wouldn't you think?
Yes, I'm hoping, because I'm hoping that I'll have a lot of connections that I have made already on behalf of other authors.
So you're just laying the groundwork. I think that's a tricky thing for artists to figure out. I know personally for me, along with podcasting and radio, I do visual arts. I have art shows in town, and I write myself, and it's like my brain going into that business side is really hard sometimes. Like, do you have any fears of balancing those out, or are they just natural to you?
For me, they're pretty natural, but part of the model of what I do, the model of my marketing business, is helping other authors for whom it's not natural, because I realize that I'm kind of weird in that way, that the business side of things I actually really enjoy. Most artists don't. Before I started freelancing for authors, I actually worked at a nonprofit art center. So my background is helping artists of all types, not just writers. So I have certainly worked with a lot of visual artists. And I know how frustrating the business side is to them. You know, you spend so much time creating your body of work, and then you want to go and tour it around. you want to sell it, you have to figure out how to price it. It's something that's affordable for people, but also gives you a return on the incredible amount of time you've invested. And all of those pieces are very hard and intimidating and frustrating. When I was at the Art Center, you know, we would do entire workshops just centered around helping artists figure out how to price their work and the business side of things, because it's not something that comes naturally for most creative people. In fact, I don't think it comes naturally for any person. Most people who are business people, they go to business school or, you know, the school of hard knocks, and they, you know, they are entrepreneurs and they learn from their mistakes for a while. And when you're in the creative business specifically, you don't have, you're doing two things, right? You're the creator on one side of your brain, then you're the business person on the other side of your brain, and it's a hard balance, and it takes a little bit more effort to learn from your mistakes like other businesses do, just because you're doing too much. So that's kind of where I come in and try to help authors figure out how to balance it better.
Yeah, and we definitely need you in the world, because it's a huge, huge thing for people to figure out. It's two different worlds. So did you grow up in Minnesota?
I did. I grew up even farther north than I am now. I grew up in a little farming community up really close to the Canadian border. Yeah. And I was the weird kid in my family, because we were a farm family, and I was the creative girl who wanted to be a writer and would just read books all the time and be kind of, you know, the one who went to the family gathering with like a novel in her purse so that I could slip away and read my book instead of always playing with my cousins. And that was, you know, it was me growing up as a very creative, artistic person, but in a very practical blue-collar world. And that's probably why I balance the practical and the creative so well, just because it was kind of what I grew up inside.
What was the go-to book growing up? What was one of your favorite books or series that you would, even to this day, you would go back to that's always motivated you?
Oh, well, growing up, it was Anne of Green Gables. I'm a sucker for the classics, and even as a kid, I was a sucker for the classics, and Anne of Green Gables by Ellen Montgomery just changed my life. I loved it.
What was the first story that you wrote where you were like, wow, this is good, I may have something going here? Do you remember what that was?
Oh, man. I do not remember the first story I ever wrote. I remember the first poem I ever wrote, which is funny because I do not consider myself to be a poet, but my writing started with poetry before veering into more long-form stuff. And so I remember my mom had broken her wrist, and I don't even remember how. So I would have been like maybe 8 years old, 7 or 8, and I was having to do all these extra chores around the house because my mom needed help. And one of the things she couldn't do very well with her broken wrist was fold laundry. So suddenly folding the laundry became my thing, and I hated it. And so I wrote a poem about how much I hated folding laundry.
That's
and
awesome.
I showed it to my mom, and I think she still has it. She still tells everybody that story, that she figured out her daughter was going to be a writer because of this poem about me complaining about chores.
That's awesome. So what living writer today would you love to meet with and talk to if you could have that opportunity?
Ooh, what living writer? Anne Lamott. I would love to sit down and have a glass of wine or a cup of coffee with Anne Lamott. I think her career she has such a broad career, and she's been writing for so long, and she's written about so many different topics, and she's written about a lot of stuff that's personal that she's allowed the rest of the world to see. And I would love to ask her about that and that journey. Because like so many writers, you know, the vulnerability piece is hard for me. And so when I see other authors who have been willing to kind of open up themselves to the public really well, and I think she has, I love to hear how they did it and how they got through the emotional upheaval of being that vulnerable.
So in your line of work of promoting writers, if there's somebody out there right now that's a writer that is really looking to get somebody to promote their work and they're very interested in you at this point, but you could push that car over the edge right now, and you could give one piece of advice right now to somebody that is ambivalent about whether they would get a hold of you or not, a piece of advice that would make them call you, what would you say to them right now?
I would say that my business name is called Good Enough Book Marketing, which is intentionally tongue-in-cheek. It's actually a coaching service, so I don't do the book marketing for authors. I teach them how to do it themselves. But the good enough piece is I teach them that marketing doesn't have to be intimidating, that they don't have to do all the things that they see, all the options that are on the table that are overwhelming, that there are a few key pieces they can do, and those pieces are still good enough to make a profit without overwhelming them or taking away from their writing time. And so the thing that I hope would push them over the edge is knowing that I am a coach who is going to let you prioritize your writer hat and help you fit marketing into your life, not the other way around.
So your husband's a reporter. I'm curious what that mentality, how that works or motivates you, because reporting is a whole different beast than just kind of straight up writing or any of that. How does that influence the way that you approach, you know, your writing and what you do?
It's very interesting. So my husband was in journalism for 10 years. He actually just recently made a career pivot. But yes, for most of our marriage, he was a reporter. The way it affected me, I guess, was more, I have a really great understanding of how the media works and what to expect versus not expect from publicity when it comes to that, because I've seen, you know, from my husband's perspective, a lot of different pieces. And in terms of writing, you know, creative writing is vastly different from the news writing. He's also a creative writer as well, so I've watched him balance both and have to put on the writer's hat and then put on the reporter hat and kind of back and forth over the past few years. And that actually just really encouraged me, because watching somebody be able to balance multiple voices and balance them well really encouraged me to know that it can be done and you can do that.
So you got a BA in English and you got a minor in music. What was your music focus? What were you studying, or what instrument?
Violin. I actually started playing the fiddle when I was about 9, and I was actually in a little fiddle group that would tour around at like county fairs and festivals and just had a lot of fun as a kid. But when you go to university, they don't have a fiddle program.
Yeah.
It became the classical focus, and the instrument as a violin. And so I did some quartets and, of course, orchestra, music history I'm very interested in and enjoyed, stuff like that.
So what do you anticipate your first book being about? I mean, is there anything that you have kind of working in the back of your mind that's going to, you know, materialize at some point and become that book for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a story I'm working on now. It's kind of in the almost an homage to True Grit, but it is a travel narrative of a young girl traveling across Minnesota. I love writing about Minnesota. And it's her journey to finding herself. It's historical fiction. So it's her journey to finding herself when she's in the unsettled prairies of Minnesota in the 19th century and is removed from all of the safety nets of her city world that she grew up in, and kind of learns to figure out who she is when all the rules are gone.
So if there, speaking of Minnesota, if there was like skeptics out there that were thinking about traveling and potentially coming to Minnesota, how would you sell the state? If you were a tourism person and you had to craft something to get somebody to come up there, what's the best thing about Minnesota?
Oh, well, everyone has heard of like our 10,000 lakes, which is, and they're wonderful, but I feel like everyone's heard about that. So if the lakes were going to bring you here, like, you'd already be here. So I would push other things. I would push our woodlands. I live in the North Woods. It's very, little house on the prairie here still. I live surrounded by giant trees. I love the nature in Minnesota is just amazing. And I love going into the woods, and I love seeing the animals and the wildflowers. We have just a vibrant state park program. I actually live not that far from a place called the Lost 40, which is 40 acres of old-growth forest, pine forest, that was accidentally missed by loggers back in the day because of a mapping error. So you can go and see this old untouched section of land that
Where
nature has just kind of gone wild, and the trees were never chopped down. Obviously, some of them have died naturally, but it's really cool to see. I take guests there and we go hiking when they come to visit.
That's cool. Very cool. So what has been the best like fan client letter response that you've ever gotten for the work that you've done?
Oh, man. You know, I had a writing gig for a while where I was writing these dramatized stories, but true stories of World War II veterans. It was for a company that was, their focus was the Second World War, and they wanted to collect a blog of stories of World War II veterans. So I would go and I would interview veterans themselves, or usually their kids. Most of the World War II veterans had already passed, so a lot of times it was interviewing their kids about what they remember dad telling them. And then I would turn one or two of those stories that they told me, you know, into like creative nonfiction. So it was dramatized with dialogue and exposition and almost read like a short story. And I remember, I was always a little nervous to send my story back to the family because it's so personal to them. And obviously I didn't take a lot of creative liberties, but a little bit just for, you know, the sake of the language and the story moving along. But I always got a great response. And I remember one guy talking about how he got my email when he was shopping and he stopped his cart to read it on his phone and he almost started to cry. And he said, "You turned my dad into a superhero." And I was like, oh, thank you. I mean, that means a lot to me. I'm glad that's how that felt to you.
That's wonderful. Let me ask you this, and this isn't a regret question. Just if you have a dream tonight, you run into the younger version of yourself, and you could give your younger version some advice based on what you've learned throughout your life, wisdom, what would you tell your younger version?
I would tell young Emily to not be so arrogant. I definitely would like to communicate to teenage Emily that she does not, in fact, know it all.
Who would you consider a hero or mentor or, you know, somebody that you look up to?
Let's stick with the writing vein. One of my writing heroes is Walt Whitman, the poet. I find his poetry to be incredibly beautiful and honest, and I find his journey as a writer to be very interesting. He did a lot of travel all over America, of course, writing about the different people who live here. He served as a nurse, nursing wounded soldiers during the Civil War, and just his entire span of his life and all that he saw really fascinates me.
So if you could slice out, say, a week or so here in the next week, and you wouldn't have to worry about kids or obligations or anything in your life, and you could do like a bucket list of three things that you've always wanted to do, what would you do?
Oh, I'd spend a lot of it writing because with kids, I don't get a lot of writing time. So if I could have a kid-free week, gosh, there'd be a lot of writing getting done. I would travel. I would go back to Sweden. I have been there before, but I'd love to go back. I would spend some time in Sweden. Spend some time in Sweden, write. And, oh, man, I think I would spend a lot of time just relaxing. If I could just unplug, if I could just spend the days writing in Sweden and the evenings just relaxing without anybody, you know, asking mom for anything, that would be my heaven.
That's a great way to wrap it all up. Emily, thanks for taking a minute out today. It was great to get to know you. Thanks for opening up.
Thank you. I really appreciate you calling and inviting me onto your show.
Thanks for tuning into another Famous Interview with Joe Domino, where we cover the world of art, literature, and writing around the globe. Most of the music on these episodes comes from Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. You can see these on the Neon Jazz YouTube channel. And for everything Joe Domino related, go to JoeDomino.com. And there you can donate to keep this alive and going via PayPal or Patreon. Until next time.